Jason Navarra invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli.
With Richard Marsland on the buttons.
I see, that's permanent now, is it? And today, if Kevin Rudd is having whatever the government's having, maybe it's time for the government to start floating some really nutty ideas just to see if Kev goes there.
What does Richard really think of Daniel McPherson?
Radio's most shambolic game, Neighbours Plot or Not, is back, and maybe a spectacular new theme song will help.
Ghost Whisperer DVD's up for grabs whether you like it or not.
Britney Spears asks, what's it done now?
Whose emails are too fruit-packed to read?
Satisfying moments in life, they don't come along too often, but when they do, they set off Barry White on this show anyway.
Is homemade sherbet just dirt in Ajax?
We'll find out, but that's all faff compared to what our second hour is unfolding. Yes, Harry Shearer is here. Harry Shearer from Spinal Tap, from The Simpsons, from everything that's any good that's pretty much ever been done.
Boom, 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 boom. Tony wants you in his room. Spend the night together from now until forever.
Yes, it's all coming up on Get This. Now, more popular. I was going to say more popular. Well, one of those. Is that the same thing? I don't know. It's the first choice of our nation's leaders.
Crack these people down. Throw them into jail. Oh. May they rot there for the term of their natural lives.
Gee, one mispronunciation. He goes off.
Come on, Ruddy.
Obviously, Howard must have said that. Mm. Oh, that's us here at Get This Around the Nation. That's right. That's the name of the show. Be good, Johnny. Men at work.
Mm.
Who are we? We're just reintroducing ourselves every day for the benefit of new listeners here in the late afternoon time slot.
Mm.
It's myself, Tony Martin.
Oh. How disappointing.
Thanks a lot, Rich. We've got Ed Cavalli.
Well, it's disappointing, but it's at a higher pitch, which is nice. Oh, okay. And the xylophone.
Fine.
Kick drum.
Pushing the buttons. It's Richard Marsland.
Feels so good.
I see. That's what you're giving yourself, is it, Rich?
I'm not sure why, but certainly feels so good.
Is this because you've become the darling of the media this week?
That's true.
What's happened?
I'm everywhere.
First, those bombshells on community television yesterday, and then in the papers today, you see Newstopia begins tonight, 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
Brilliant.
Switch over after Chris Lilley.
Bang.
Switch over from ABC to SBS.
Yep.
Newstopia, Sean McAuliffe, comedy program.
Yeah.
Who's writing for that show? Well, according to the...
Well, Sean McAuliffe would be in.
Yeah, he's in there, down the very bottom of the credits.
I think that Kevin Bloody Wilson's on board. And
where's the paragraph I'm looking for?
Rodney Rood's probably contributed something.
Today's paper, seasoned writer Richard Marsland.
Oh, seasoned, eh?
Well, it's a short season.
What are you...
it's a six-episode season. That's clearly the seasoning that I've had.
All that oregano off your shoulders.
Yeah, look at you, covered in thyme. Marinated yourself, have you? A little honey soy Marsland.
Dipped in egg, breadcrumbs.
Season. So a couple of seasons on community TV.
Here he goes.
Bit of work with Ann Wells in Adelaide in the morning. Suddenly he's the industry veteran.
Look at you, Rich.
The old hand.
Yeah.
Thank God you're pushing the buttons, though, Rich, because we've had a lot of people call in and say, you know, have you found the tape yet of your very first broadcast? The one that didn't go to air, the pilot for this show, where Ed Cavalli pushed the buttons.
Did a fine job.
A lot of people are suggesting that, quote, it would have sounded like Blast FM.
What is Blast FM?
I'd forgotten what Blast FM. These are sketches that I used to do on the radio some 12 years ago, Ed.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were, and for people who've worked in community radio, such as myself, very, very lifelike, very realistic.
I think I've dug out the very first one of those sketches here. This is 12 years ago. Apparently... Because, you know, the actual tape of our pilot episode doesn't exist. You managed to erase it.
I deleted that time.
Yeah, good on you. This is from 12 years ago. This is what it may have sounded like. Oh, no, get Gary to back the ute around.
Bring the, I've
got some jungle leads in the Gemini. We can hook it up to the transmitter.
I've got some.
Yeah, no, that'll keep things going till Stephen from the buy, swap, and sell show gets here. I think he's got the keys for the generator. Hey, we're on. G'day. You're listening to Community Radio Blast FM, where every day is a blast. Just This is Mixed Platter, and I'm your host, Barry, filling in for Ted, who's getting the cat done. Just before, we heard Tommy Emmanuel with Classical Gas. And don't forget, in the next week or so, you'll have a chance to win an exclusive photograph of Tommy Emmanuel, which Stacey, who works part-time here at the station, found in an old new idea. Okay, time now for today's mystery sound. And here it is now.
She's buggered, mate.
Well, it sounds like we've lost the mystery...
Sorry.
The mystery sound, which... well, I'll see if I can do it for you.
It sounds like a cow falling down a flight of stairs.
Yeah, okay, mate, just fix the sound thing there. Hello, Blast FM. Not yet. This is Mixed Platter. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Barry. This is Aiden from Now That's Indigenous. I'm filling in for Chris on Make Mine Cage, and I've forgotten my swipe card number. Can you come down and let me in?
We're trying to do the mystery sound, mate.
Isn't it a cow falling down the stairs today?
Well, in the absence of any other callers, it looks like Aiden is our winner. And Aiden wins a voucher for 10% off any unsubmerged item in the Bay Marie downstairs at the Under New Management CAF, where you'll come for the food and stay for the ambulance. Well, next up on Mixed Platter...
Sorry, you recorded... Oh, shit.
Next up on Mixed Platter, we meet my special guest, a firebreak contractor who, from certain angles, looks a bit like Rick Parfitt, former guitarist from Status Quo. That's after these messages on Blast FM, where we've just heard our license has been extended till next Tuesday. We'll scrub that and let's have some more Classical Gas from Tommy Emmanuel. Okay. I'd just like to point out the sketch has ended. We're now back on a professional radio program here on Triple M. But you know what kind of sounds like Blast FM? Mm-hmm. Neighbours Plot or Not.
Oh, yeah.
And that is next. Oh, Matchbox 20, how far we've come here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M now. Guys, according to my rundown, it's time to play Neighbours Plot or Not.
Yes. Mm.
It's been a bit shambolic lately.
Well, let's just cut that out.
Well, the theme songs, how poor have the theme songs been?
Look, they've been on the hop. As I would say, on the hop
on
is the word. But Tony, what have you done? Every time I ask you to sing a song, it's always that All Together Now nonsense.
Everyone loves the All Together Now theme.
Not the way you sing it. People like the John English version. Richard, you bring poor George Harrison's at best.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll do a new one. How does the actual Neighbours theme go, Rich? How does that start?
Is it... It's everybody needs
everybody
good.
Everybody needs good. Good. Everybody needs 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 good neighbors. Everybody needs good neighbors. With a little understanding, we can find the perfect blend. Neighbours, they should be there for one another. That's when neighbours become good friends, and then someone falls off a cliff. I never thought that I would be going the kind of shows that you would be showing. The way you do that Ramsey Street voodoo, I'm glad I moved here from East Yawamutu. Neighbours Plot, can't you see, Tony? Neighbours Plot, Harold started croning. Neighbours Plot, coffee shops exploded. Neighbours Plot, Mrs. Mangles loaded.
Can't you feel the fire?
Neighbours Plot or not? You decide what. It usually goes quite shabbily. Cause I'm met with cavalry. Neighbours Plot, Neighbours Plot or not? Come on, Ed,
is what you got. You're our world, our hopes and dreams. It can't be as easy as it seems. Neighbours dot, neighbours dot or not. Neighbours dot.
I don't know. It's obviously just off the top of a head.
Not bad. Thanks, Barry. What? See you, Barry.
Yeah.
Cheers, mate.
Walking out.
Thanks for everything, bro.
He pops in from time to time.
Amazing how you were still singing then and talking, Tone.
Yeah, well, it's circular breathing does that. I think you're fine.
Okay, well, thanks for the world's most elaborate setup to the world's worst segment.
Not this really time for the segment, according to my schedule.
Well, we're going to press on regardless.
Okay, a couple of questions.
Okie dokie. For those who haven't played this before, bad luck. You're going to have to hear it now. And basically, there's plots of the neighbours each show. Whoa.
Yeah,
each
I think probably people have worked it out by
just,
now.
Let's just crack on, shall we? Richard.
Oh, yes.
You're going first.
Mm-hmm.
Faced with a terrible choice, the blonde one finds solace in Toadie and Bacardi breezes. Can she ever recover from what they did to her poor defenceless fringe?
Well, the word solace sounds like a TV Week word that perhaps wouldn't drift through the transom if you're writing it. But I might say it's an Ed Cavalier.
True. Well done, Rich. Well done. Well done. Okay, Tone, ready?
Yeah, okay.
Carl, Alan Fletcher, below left, continues to try and console a distressed Susan, but the Ramsey Street mum couldn't hate herself more.
Call me Miss Marple, but the presence of the phrase below left suggests it's real neighbours.
Correct, Tony Mann, correct.
All right.
It's all tied up. I've only got three, so someone's going to miss out.
Pathetic.
Okay, Richard, ready?
Yeah, sure.
Don't look because you'll be able to tell.
Okay.
Who's the hot new biped that's got tongues a-wagging? What with their upright walking and command of language? Hot dog! Miranda and Susan can hardly hold themselves back.
Bipeds, hey?
Yeah.
Not a David Attenborough rundown. Yeah. Look, I'm going to go with Neighbours plot because I think... Are they still quadruped this week or they're biped?
Incorrect, my friend.
Oh.
They're all pachyderm all week.
Sacked in badly.
That's it.
That is it for...
Neighbours plot. Neighbours plot or not. Neighbours plot. Neighbours plot or not. Neighbours plot. Neighbours plot or not.
Thank you.
Touch you down by the fire. Let's get a rug. Take off your gear. What? Yeah.
No one's home. No one's... Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, that's the exact words of the original by Barry White.
I got carried away. Anyway, there's a lovely postscript to that. He was very mean about neighbours there with the old Richard.
Yeah.
Thankfully, though, I recorded some audio in the office this morning. He was Well, we were talking Daniel McPherson.
Oh, yeah, he loves Daniel McPherson.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't sure of what his position was. I said to him, Richard, what's your position on Daniel McPherson? This is what he said.
I'm Richard, and heaps of magazines tell me that Dan McPherson is hot, so I believe them now. How many Bratz dolls do you have? I've got 50.
Okay.
Unquote. Why do you always announce your name, Richard? We know who you are by now. It says so on your T-shirt, for starters.
Exactly. I can't help the Max, you know? I got McConaughey and McPherson.
Yeah.
And McSteamy and McDreamy and McCreamy.
Okay.
Who's McCreamy?
Oh, well.
Let's find out next. I'll get this.
U.S. forces, give the nod.
Come on, Peter Garrett, give us a break.
Bombs and trenches all in rows.
Mr. Speaker, midnight oil.
Yeah.
Have a listen to this.
Thank you, Midnight Oil, US Forces, with a few additions from Matty D on the Pots and Pans
at
Triple M around the nation. This show brought to you by the Nissan Navara.
Ooh, yeah.
I think people are across that idea by now. Tell you who is, Songy.
Oh, g'day, Songy.
Songy is called in to say, hey, guess what we've done? We've nicknamed our work colleague Jimmy Navara.
That's nice.
Although he's happily married when we go out with him, without him even trying. He has massive pulling power.
Whoa.
Damn him, says Songy. I don't know what's going on there.
Good on you. He must be chiseled or something.
Hey,
we're all excited in here because in the next hour, Harry Shearer is here.
Man. Yeah, wow.
Good news.
Oh, look, he's usually described as most of the voices on The Simpsons. That's just the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm. He's been around forever. He worked with Mel Blanc.
I've been trying to print out his resume. It's still printing downstairs.
Jack Benny.
He's worked with Jack Benny.
Abbott and Costello.
Man, Spinal Tap, all those Christopher Guest films. It's just his latest bio. Just in the last month, he's had a novel out and done a show at the Edinburgh Festival.
Bang.
The Felstival, as I call it.
The Felstival, it's nice.
That's how we pronounce things in New
Zealand.
Everything
performed on felt.
Yeah. That legendary Saturday Night Live sketch that he did as well with the male synchronised swimmers.
Beautiful.
Him and Martin Short.
Brilliant.
Lovely work. So much to talk about with Harry. Mm. But look at this, speaking of The Simpsons, have you been to that website where you can get Simpsonised?
Yeah.
Oh, I've been to the South Park one.
Right. What happens there?
You look like Stan for a bit. I mean, their faces aren't that detailed on South Park.
Brett Spence has done us up as Simpsons characters. That's pretty good. Have a look at that.
No, that's not bad. You're creepy, Tone.
Yeah, but look at the picture. Hello!
Oh, there we go.
Steady on, I'm here all week.
Yeah, yeah. Richards looks nothing like him.
Mm. I've grown a finger as well for my usual three.
Well, he doesn't have his hands in his pockets. No trench coat, no Farmers Union iced coffee, no Winnie Blues with the filter cut out.
All right.
Not even close.
Sure, that's in breach of some sort of copyright. We'll run it by Harry.
Sorry.
What else?
Listen. Now, talking more emails, Tone.
Yeah, yeah.
We read out a lot of emails on this program.
We get so many.
Oh, and they're all wonderful. And thank you, Songy is the latest. Someone that we won't be reading out is Ophelia Scrote, who sent me an absolute fruit basket. Not one, is there, just brilliant and bonsoir are the only two words that I can read out from there. So that's thank you, Ophelia.
Still two more than Ed can play from the series Love Thy Neighbour Down Under. Ooh. A lot of people emailing in going, guys, where are the clips? We can't play them.
No.
Not a word of that series. Not a word. No. Can go to air. It's out on DVD, though. Mm. What about this from Ben Pryor? He's been listening to all of our podcasts from the beginning to occupy himself while working on his honours thesis.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to think of a way to work the phrase, this is dizzy stuff, into the thesis. Might be difficult, Caesar, as I'm translating from French, but I'll see what I can do.
Well,
that's beautiful.
You just ordered something.
Ill est stuff dizzy. I don't know. Can't remember anything.
No, damn.
Clefs the Cellar Bureau. Monsieur Lafayette has done the Jardin avec Jean Paul.
Goodness me. And what about men without hats?
On son chapeau.
There you go. We know our French.
Yeah, we go.
Thanks to 80s pop hits. You can learn it yourself.
Ça plat pour moi.
Listen to this. Ben Pryor says, surprised to look in the paper this morning, see a photo of Labor spokesman Arch Beavis. I thought you guys had made that up.
Beef.
I didn't think it could really be a name. But how can Labor lose with a guy called Arch Beavis in their team?
Well, I'll come back to that in 1 minute.
I'm sure you will, Mr. Rudd.
Thanks, Ruddy.
Beautiful. What other emails have we received?
Well, here we go, Tone. Jack O'Connell writes in.
Oh, yeah.
And says that you guys had a wonderful hit with Caperl, and then Borgus was a dead set winner.
Sure.
How
was.
About Socktober, Jocktober, or Smocktober?
Right.
Fairly, you know, obvious things. Socks,
jock straps,
and smocks. And now we've been talking in the office, Rich. It's a bit late to get that going. It's hard to get the remote control helicopters here to give away. But for November, we've come up with three ideas, Tone. I'm going to run them by you now.
Sure, let's
Quovember, dress up as status quo.
Oh, is it that acid wash jeans and white trainers? That's not a good look. We'll all have to get a bit fatter too.
Okay, all right. That one's out.
I'll have to develop a serious heart condition.
Okay, what about Wovember, where people just send in pictures of stuff like that's awesome and we go, whoa.
Yeah.
Not very rate. It's quite visual.
I'm seeing it wearing out its welcome by about the 4th.
Okie dokie. How about Yovember? Have you dress up all gangster-like?
Okay.
Yeah. But poorly.
Yeah, okay, Ned, that's not bad.
Okay.
That's not bad.
Flavor Flav had the big clock around his neck. Maybe wear a colander. Maybe wear a colander.
Okay. Well, I'm seeing Tone go gangster.
Yeah.
So are we getting somewhere, Tone?
The concept is good, but the name, well, let's see if we fall in love with it over the next week.
All right. So that's sizzle.
Can we get the troops out by a Rocktober?
Okay.
That's my idea.
Suddenly, Yovember's sounding great. what else is going on? Lots to get to. And the listeners, we're going to meet them very soon. Here, get this. There you go. That'd be Snow Patrol. Open your eyes. Wasn't sure how it ended.
Neither of us.
Caught with our pants down here. Blast if him. No, sorry, at Triple M. Around the nation, it's get this. You can't talk. You've got a mouthful of something.
Hey, shush, Tone.
What are you eating today, Ed?
Delicious tuna wrap.
Yep. Feel free to eat along at home. That's how it works. Hey, what's going on with Kevin Rudd now? I notice all the papers are onto this idea of Ruddy's Me Too-isms. Whenever Howard announces something...
Ruddy, straight away.
Ruddy says, I'll have what he's having.
Jeez, I watched the 7:30 report last night. I wish I'd invested in Pine yesterday at some point. Lots of Pine box talk.
Oh, yeah, people be taken out in a Pine box.
They're marching out the door.
Yeah, that's after they've rotted, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Left to rot for
it's
a while.
Cooling off period.
Mm. So I just think the answer is Howard should just start announcing really nutty stuff and see if
Ruddy will toe the line.
Just make some crazy announcement. Mm-hmm. On the opening day of the new term of Parliament, I will be lighting my farts on live television.
Oof, that's gone up in smoke.
Oh, hang on.
Come on, Ruddy.
It was just a joke, Mr. Rudd.
Well, I wish you'd put it out.
Okay. Thank you very much, Richard. I love this story in the papers. Richard Pratt, the billionaire.
Oh, the box billionaire.
Yeah, the box, the cardboard box billionaire.
Yeah.
In a bit of Vizard-style trouble.
Uh-oh.
Accused of price-fixing and, cheating the public, basically.
I knew that the scallop industry was full of thugs, but I thought I could trust the box people.
Well, that's the thing. It's hard. I mean, I know it's a serious business and a lot of people are out of pocket, even everyone in this room, technically, if you think about it, anyone who's bought something in a cardboard box.
Oh, right.
Has been a victim.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a collector, so I've really been hit hard.
But it's just hard to take a crime seriously when it's, cardboard box scam.
Oof.
Look out, they've got scissors.
Price war in the cardboard box industry. Where is the cardboard district, Richard?
Just down the road a little bit. The cardboard. The masking tape district.
Billionaires. In fact, in that film, Boytown, the one that caused all the trouble, there was a plane in it. If anyone saw it at the end. At the end, they were all on a sort of private jet. That was Richard Pratt's own private plane that he loaned.
The plane that boxes built.
Yeah, it was made of cardboard, everything.
I like to think that his mansion is too.
The whole thing made of cardboard.
And his car is just one of those things that he hooks over his shoulders and runs along with.
Chugga, 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 chugga. It's the cardboard magnets.
I didn't know that cardboard did so much, and there was a cardboard car in Bad Eggs as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, I don't know.
True? In the fountain or something?
I never saw it. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Walked out.
I'm waiting for the video.
Walked out halfway through.
What about, I'll tell you what, down the other end of the business spectrum, you've got St. Vincent de Paul's.
Yep.
For a while, what did it get shortened to? St. Vinny's.
St. Vinny's, yeah.
Have you noticed them now? It's just Vinny's.
Oh. They've lost the same bit.
They've lost the same bit. It's just
good.
Vinny's.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Looks like someone from The Sopranos is running a charity shop, quite frankly.
We've got to get rid of these guard fella.
Where's our envelopes, Vinny? Bring them down the bing.
At Frank Vincent de Paul's.
I'm hoping all of them are going to start doing that, Brotherhood of St. Lawrence. Laurie's.
Hey, Laurie.
Cool. When you call for an ambulance, I'll just call Jono's.
Goodness me. Can I get a Hawaiian with that?
Oh, no. I'm having a heart attack. Call Jono's.
Call Jono. Seriously.
Who are you voting for? Pauline's. That's the name of her political party.
Yes, yes.
Do you think that's going to pay off on polling day?
I don't know. I mean, I'm pulling for Jono. I'm pulling for Kevo.
Are you?
Will Pauline come through? Who can tell? What about Brownie? Brownie's doing well.
What about the gummy bears? How does that song of theirs go? Ed sang it on the show the other day. Oh, I remember how it goes.
I'm a gummy bear in a gummy world, bouncing gummy stuff, beat a gummy bear.
Is that how you want your phone to ring, listeners?
That's not the right song.
Yeah, no, it is.
It's not. He's got it wrong.
Yeah, he hasn't got it wrong.
You got it wrong. But
Matt's got it wrong.
You sang it and then Matt, I went in and he looked 6 months older. I went in and goes, I've tried every piece of music in the studio. Whatever he's doing, it doesn't fit anything. I'm taking it home. I've got the garage band business on me, computer at home. Yeah. Gets in the next day. Nah, even in the world of the abstract, I couldn't make it fit.
I'm like Nico. I'm breaking down musical barriers,
What other things are you like, Nico? German. Yeah. Dead? I'm not sure. Is Nico
on the skag?
Caught in the lift with Jim Morrison?
Is Nico dead? I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, she is. She was with John Cooper Clarke.
Few just as well. What do you mean she was with John Cooper Clarke?
They were living together when she passed away while riding a bicycle. Remember, Fleety said it on the show.
There's a health regime.
Anyway, the point is, Matt, that is not how that song goes. It's far more upbeat and it's far more jolly. That made it sound melancholy, man.
Yeah, John Cooper, melancholy. Look, that's two puns in one if you think about it. Thank you, Nikki.
Double your puns with Get This.
I can see how many fingers you're holding up, Nikki, and I know what you mean. We're eating into Harry Shearer time. Ooh. Let's not do that at Get This here at Triple M. Thank you very much, Lenny Kravitz. Oh, that hurts. Below the belt. Here, Get This around the nation on Triple M. home of the Get This podcast.
Oh, what are we up to, Tone?
136 will be going up today. Mm-hmm. Can't tell you what's in there. We haven't finished it yet. Still up on blocks, as we say.
Okay.
In the meantime, if you're looking for something good, DJ Dom's podcast.
Oh, yeah.
It's outstanding.
He's a mystery figure. I got confused. Yes, I'm not sure how much we're supposed to say on here. It's all a bit shrouded in mystery.
Yes, although you can find it on triplem.com.au.
Beautiful.
He goes through a list of the celebrities that he's met and who thinks he's cool.
Yeah.
Evidently some sort of run-in with hot dogs.
Do you know you've got that sort of delay where you go, hot dogs, oh, that guy.
Yes.
Just that 1 second.
See, I only remember the last incident that they were a part of.
Yeah, well.
You know what I mean? You don't remember that. All the good stuff he did on Big Brother. I've got the tapes and I watch them.
Sure.
Just to learn. He used to do this thing where he'd sit at the mirror at the end of the day and say a little prayer for everyone at home. You just like, you know, it's like, okay, fine, it cost me 50 cents to text. If I send you $5,000, can I walk in and throw one punch at him? Is that just one?
Hey.
Anyway, the last thing he did was an incident on a road in the Sunshine Coast.
In an alleyway.
Lewd.
I know that, you know, I'm not obviously advising people to go around throwing punches willy-nilly, but
no.
If somebody must be punched.
Who must be punched?
Look at this photo from the new weekly. I've saved it just for you.
Yes! Yay!
Who is it?
Perez Hilton.
Somebody's finally snapped Perez Hilton.
Yes! Good job. Great job.
You know, who are the suspects, everybody?
We can't really condone violence, but, you know, if there must be violence.
Oh, anyone with hands is currently a suspect. That is great news.
A very satisfying shot in the new NW, but let's get up to a higher level, shall we, as we ascend Talkback Mountain. Nice. Those goats need help. Talkback Mountain, that theme supplied, or the idea for it, Julio Cano.
Ooh.
Julio Cano wants that one. Thank you,
Well,
Maddie
what
D.
Julio wants, Julio gets.
Yeah, today we're talking about satisfying moments in life.
Yeah, Tom, why are we doing this?
Because yesterday I was trying to get into the car park here at Triple M.
Yeah.
And there was a car that was sort of half blocking the entrance.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That'll happen.
So what had happened was a parking officer had showed up to give that person a ticket. But in order to stop his car and give the ticket, he'd had to park right over the entrance to the car park.
So you couldn't get in?
Couldn't get in. So I'm winding the window down, saying to the parking officer, mate, you can't park there.
Oh, yeah.
No, mate, you cannot park. No, mate, I don't make the rules, all right? You're going to have to move. Oh, didn't that feel good? That's right, moments that trigger that music. Yeah. That's what we're looking for today. Have you had one of these, Ed?
Yeah, Tone.
What happened?
Oh, Antiques Roadshow.
You're watching Antiques Roadshow.
I'm getting good, Tone.
Yeah.
I am getting good. What First happened? Of all, I couldn't tell if a little scummy little teddy bear with a crown on it was worth $5 or $500. But these days, you put a piece of furniture in front of me, Rich, and I'll tell you where it's from. Quick smart. I picked a piece of Northeast 18th century furniture just from a twist in the leg last night.
Oh.
£2,000, baby.
Yeah.
Bang. So
certainly does.
Woo!
Richard, what feels so good?
You know what I like doing is cutting out those little rings that come around the milk containers.
Yes, nonsensical rings.
Yeah, those little annoying rings, like when you break the lid off.
I hate them.
Because that way platypuses won't get their beaks caught in them.
Oh.
It feels good to do that.
Yeah. All right.
Feels very good.
So, hang on a sec. Are there any stats? Anyone listening who's down with the platypi, what are the stats per year of ring-based nose deaths?
Can we please stop throwing away these rings? Because this is hard work down here at the platypus end of the hall.
And why only the ring wouldn't fit over their bills.
No, but the bills, as opposed to a duck's bills, are quite squishy.
No, they're not. They need to knead through rocks.
Yeah, that's right. They're kind of spongy, so they can actually get through things. So they actually can actually get stuck in those things, and also the things that beer comes in, those plastic things.
But they don't come in that anymore. So what you're saying, Richard, is so you live in the inner city, yeah?
Yeah.
In a house full of lotion. Now, the closest platypus...
Wearing the night vision goggles, answering the door naked, and keeping my urine in a bar fridge next to my bed.
According to the listeners.
You said it. So the closest platypus to you would be where? The Murray-Darling Basin?
Miles away, but it's our collective problem.
Yeah, he's taking the shine off the segment. I just love blatant self-interest. Now, sorry. Let's help the animal kingdom.
I'm sorry.
My apologies.
I'm sorry, Rich.
No, it's a chance.
You're an environmental guy, and I'm sorry.
Call us up, listeners. Tell us what you reckon feels so good. 1-3-3-5-3. That's Blondie. Here again, this on Triple M around the nation. That was Perez Hilton we were talking about.
Yeah.
Cop the punch. Not Paris Hilton.
No, the guy who's made a living writing, like, what's that dress?
Over the top of photos that someone else has taken. Yeah. So we weren't advocating violence against women.
No.
Oh, hang on, maybe we were.
Just against bloggers.
All right, we're talking about satisfying moments in life. They don't come along too often, but let's find out who they have to Ed Cavalli.
Hello, Chris. How are you?
How you going, mate?
Oh, great, man. Talk us through a satisfying moment.
A hard day's work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you have a shower, the first sit down on a lovely couch.
And Chris, what are you doing when you hit the couch? What are you into?
Pretty much cracking a beer and watching whatever's on the telly.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Reruns or Thank God If You're Here.
Yeah. You see Tony there, didn't you, hey?
How's that bloke with the moustache? How do you rate his work?
Great. Well, I just want to know, Ed.
Yeah.
Why do they always put Julia Zemiro with you and she's always wanting to kiss you and hug you? Yeah. Is there something there?
Well, Chris, I don't want to stir too much. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, actually. I don't know. I just do as I'm told.
Yeah, he really wants Alan Bro, but they keep giving him Julia Zemiro.
What's going on in the background, Chris?
Are you calling us from an abattoir?
No, I'm calling you from work, actually. I'm at a engineering place.
Okay. Yeah.
A lot of bashing and grinding.
Oh, bashing and grinding.
Yeah, home for that shower. I hope that shower you're talking about is under 2 minutes, is it?
The way I look at the moment could be 20.
Okay, fair enough.
You've got to think of a two-minute song. See, Ed's been doing it to American Pie. we don't need to play the footage, but that's water wastage right there.
Thank you, Chris. Nice talking to you. G'day, Mark. How are you?
Yeah, really well, guys. Yourself?
Oh, man, we're excellent. Talk us through a satisfying moment.
Actually, you are excellent, yeah. You know when you're driving peak hour traffic and there's a fella sitting in the outside lane, just not refusing to go anywhere?
Yep.
It's even better when the guy's a learner driver and his teacher is sitting there beside him with the pen and pocket protector on, and that's only valid for Julia Sumner Miller, as we all know, and being able to pull up next to them and say, and just relate the road laws to him.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
just fill him in on what he's missed there, hey?
Well, actually, yeah, perhaps give him a crash course in how road rage happens.
Oh, there you go, Mark. Mark's a road rage instructor. That's nice. Good on you, Mark, doing your bit.
Second steering wheel and an iron bar.
Thank you,
beautiful.
Mark.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Mark. G'day, Les. How are you?
Hey, Ed. How you doing, mate?
Excellent, sir. Talk us through a satisfying moment.
Bringing home the Red Dwarf series and now having my 10-year-old son walking around school calling everybody a smeghead.
Oh, that's lovely.
Okay. We are nerds in here, but amazingly, none of us into the Red Dwarf.
No. Well, I brought it home for them thinking they might, you know, not take to it, but 6 discs later, that's all they can talk about.
Six discs.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. So Principal Smeghead, how's he doing these days?
He's kicking goals.
Yeah, hey, we might run that by Principal Skinner.
Oh.
Joining us in the next hour. I think you're fine.
Yeah.
We've got time for one more satisfying moment.
G'day, Andrew. How are you?
Hello.
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm going really well, thanks.
Talk us through a satisfying moment, my friend.
Yeah. Well, I've just...
okay.
Yeah, so I'm very excited. It just happened today.
What happened?
So about 3 hours ago. I came home from school. I finished early on a Wednesday. I love doing that. It's great.
Yeah, okay.
Just come over and I find a letter in the mail for me.
Yeah.
Dear Andrew, I'm just shaking now trying to read the letter.
Okay, Andrew.
Dear Andrew, thank you for your recent application, blah, blah, blah. It is a pleasure to inform you of your successfully, doesn't even make sense, selection into the Victorian 7 and under boys team for netball.
Oh, boys netball.
Wow, you've taken the next step in your netball career.
Feels so good.
Aren't you a netball coach, Ed?
I coach basketball.
Basketball. That's not the same.
No.
Again, just a moment for basketball netball players to swear at their radio. There it is.
Hey, congratulations, Andrew. Where are you hoping to take it? All the way to the Commonwealth Games when they put men's netball in there?
That'd be great. There's a, I don't know, what do we play? We play, some tournament in March next year.
Well, good luck with some tournament next year, Andrew.
Yeah, thank
we'll
you.
We'll be right behind you.
Yeah, we'll be here at Get This. Some tournament in March. Here at Get This. But look, that's enough satisfaction for one
Thanks,
hour.
Thanks, everyone.
Joining us in the next hour, the man with the best resume we've ever had of anyone who's ever been on this show, Harry Shearer.
Get This.
More monkey business.
Brought to you by Nissan Navara. Huge pulling power.
What I want because I can, if I don't because I want to.
Bruce Springsteen, yeah, that's quite impressive.
Be ignored by the stiff and the bored because I'm gonna.
That's right, Bruce Springsteen tonight on Triple M.
Bosh.
Who cares about that?
Bosh.
We've got Harry Shearer in this hour of Get This. Yeah. He's just being installed at the moment. Just going through the screening procedure, the metal detector, you know how it works.
I do.
While we're waiting for Harry to be prepped for the show, I feel like, you know, he's done actual radio for years.
Absolutely.
I feel like we need to be slightly more professional than normal today.
Yeah, we can do that.
I'm just worried that he tuned in while we're doing Blast FM and then perhaps...
Oh, yeah, the community radio.
Just, the show.
Just hang a Yui driver, if you could. I thought just to get in the mood for professional radio, let's just flip around the dial and see what's going on. On a real radio show. What do you got there, Rich?
Just God, I'm going to be glad to be rid of all this crap.
Oh.
I really am. All this nonsense I get from these stupid bloody people.
Okay.
The pains in the ass you people are. Ooh. You really are. Boring little bureaucrats. Oh. Nothing to do but to pick on innocent people who make innocent mistakes. Just sicken you. And let me tell you... these boring bloody bureaucrats who wouldn't know a microphone if you shoved it up their ass.
Well, hang on. Yes, that's some of that professional Australian radio that Harry Shearer is in town to celebrate. Let's have some more of it in this hour of Get This. Oh, music hall ending to an emo standard there from My Chemical Romance around the nation on Triple M. It is Get This. Some fake applause, please, for Harry Shearer. He's here. Oh, beautiful. Does his own.
Either fake applause or popcorn.
We've got it all. Whatever you want. Now, Harry, let's just get the business out of the way for the three people listening who don't know.
Here's $20.
Thanks pretty much.
For having me on. But, no, they're not. It's 20 for the three of you.
No, that's okay. Yeah. I'll get them their cut.
Excellent.
You get the full hour for the 20. But
excellent.
Let's just get it out of the way. Which voices are you on The Simpsons?
Smithers, Principal Skinner, Ned Flanders, Reverend Lovejoy, Kent Brockman, Scratchy, Lenny, Dr. Hibbert, Dr. Marvin Monroe, Kang, McBain, God, the Devil, and Hitler. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you very much. That's the end of the show. What was that heavy metal band you were in for a while?
Spinal Tap.
Oh, still going?
Yeah. Well, we were at the Live Earth show at, what was it, Wimbledon? Oh, no, yeah. Wembley. Yeah,
we saw
Wimbledon.
Warmer Than Hell. Is that the first original Tap composition in how many years?
Let's see. That would be the first in about 5 years. Our last one was... Back from the Dead, which we did for a few select appearances.
See, the great thing, of many great things about Spinal Tap is that, unlike with real bands, I guess, the older you get, the funnier it just seems to become.
Well, I think the great thing about Tap is we know we suck, which puts us miles ahead of so many bands. But
you can just go endlessly. Is it true there's some kind of legal business where you have to keep being Spinal Tap every few years in order?
There was. I don't think it's in existence anymore, but there was. We had to do something Spinal Tap related every 3 years to remain to be able to claim we're Spinal Tap.
Because someone else owns the rights to
the wonderful people in France.
To the movie. I was watching, I had out, how's this, Harry? I had out the Criterion Edition Laserdisc of Spinal Tap.
But you don't have a Laserdisc player, so you just stared at the disc?
I did, no. I've got an old karaoke machine that plays Laserdiscs.
See, really?
And the DVD that you can get of Spinal Tap, it doesn't have all of the deleted scenes.
No, each edition has different crap on it, so you have to buy all of them.
Well, the Criterion Edition is worth investing in if you can get it, because it's got you or your character Derek Smalls talking about his solo album. Do you remember what it was called?
It's a Smalls World.
That's right.
Yeah, it's an 8-track super demo.
And according to Marty DeBerge, it was an album of all bass.
Yes.
And it was, and there's a great moment where he says to you, I would imagine that an album of all bass wouldn't have much variation. And do you remember what your response was?
I do not.
You go, well, it's not about variation.
Well, that would be what one would say, and that's when put to that test. Yeah.
Are you sick of people bringing this film up?
No, I love it. I love it. It's, I mean, that film came so close to never coming out in the first place. We had to fight through so many obstacles to get the film released that the fact that it's out and people are talking about it still and that people are seeing it is such vindication for us, you know. That the most amazing moment was the very same people, in some cases, the very same people who said no when we wanted to make the movie in the first place were then 10 years later running after us with, you know, satchels stuffed with cash saying, please do a sequel, and we got to say no to that.
Well,
satisfying.
Is it because, I mean, I actually gave my brother-in-law, who's a fan of, I guess, what you would call prog rock, you know, albums that folded out and folded out again.
Sure. Lore. There's lore there for you to immerse yourself in.
He loves the Rick Wakeman sound, all that kind of stuff. And I thought he'll love Spinal Tap, and I gave it to him. This is about 10 years ago, and he just didn't understand the format. And it's like some people to this day are still getting their head around the idea of a fake documentary. Now that there's The Office and things like that, maybe people are...
It's a little late, isn't it?
I know. He does live in Tasmania. Well, yeah. But people are still just discovering it for the first
time. And, of course, the Prague and Prague Rock does stand for progressive, so that should be a hint to him that maybe he should move along a little bit. But
what I love is I hadn't watched... I thought, you know, I won't watch Spinal Tap for 10 years. I'll wait 10 years and I'll put it back on. And you put it on now, and you know what it's like? It's like you're watching the best of Spinal Tap. You think it's a best of, because every single scene has...
Oh, stuff that you remember.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Well, I mean, I think mock documentaries have come along. You know, I remember a show that came out of here called The Games, which I remember being really good for that, in that form. So I don't know why... What's wrong with your brother-in-law?
I don't know, he just couldn't get his head right.
Well, he's on the line.
But there is the great, you know...
Do you have Dr. Phil down here? Because maybe Dr. Phil could work on
10 years, we're getting Dr. Phil.
In 10 years, you're getting... You know, Tony, there's three things you can do to improve your love life.
What are they?
One, lie down. Two, get up again. And three, wash it off.
Let's do all three during this song. Let's come back with some sensible questions. Here on Get This. Ah, yes. Thank you, Paul Kelly. Before too long, here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M, Harry Shearer is our special guest for this hour. And just trying to tell us off air that George Bush is perhaps smarter than he looks. Is that right?
Well, there's a reporter named James Fallows, who's a very well-known Washington reporter. I think he works for the Atlantic magazine now. And he wrote a piece about a year ago saying, you know, all this stuff about Bush's problem with English.
Yeah.
The English as a third language. struck him as strange because he remembered when Bush was running for governor of Texas against Ann Richards, who was this sharp-tongued, really sassy woman with a great, great gift of gab. And Bush beat her in debates over and over again. And he said he talked in complete sentences, used the right words in the right order and everything.
Is it the drugs or is it an act that he's banging on to appeal?
Well, that's the question. Nobody really knows. Nobody has gone and asked that question. Nobody's followed up and said, what exactly is this? You know, as a comedian and as a satirist who does Bush on occasion, that is to say every week on my radio show, you know, he's great to work with. He's great to play with because, you know, he's I'm going to sing something a cappella or things like that. But, you know, does he really talk like that privately, or is this basically just, or is it the way he talks when it's about something that he doesn't really mean?
Right. Okay.
You know, somebody in the States said in the press recently, he talks goofy when he's trying to pretend that he cares about stuff he really doesn't care about.
Okay. Right. I remember years ago, the late Phil Hartman used to do an impersonation of Ronald Reagan.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was sort of doddering, you know, when he was talking. And then when he went behind closed doors, he was this really sharp guy who was like ordering people about.
Well, I did a sort of a similar thing, too. I thought that Reagan was a guy who used the fact that people thought he was out of it to his advantage.
Right.
And, you know, when congressmen came into his office and wanted to discuss some urgent matter, and they'd walk away saying, he just told me stories about life in the Warner Brothers commissary.
Yeah, of course.
You know, Reagan would be sitting there going, another job, well done.
Sorted.
Yeah, got them.
You mentioned your radio. I've never heard you talk about your radio show. How many years has it been going?
23 friggin' years.
And what's it called?
Can I say years on the air?
You can say whatever you want. The Show.
It's called The Show. Because in America, when I started and also still now, there's this strange fascination for putting the word le in front of something to class it up.
Right, right.
You know, le steak, le club. Ooh,
that sounds good.
Jeez. Yeah, le shoe. My favorite one is something they sold for a while for women to pump their own gas in self-serve gas stations.
Yeah.
Le gas glove.
Ooh, sacré bleu.
Do you give those away on your show?
No, I do not. There are no giveaways on my show. It's so it's an hour a week, which must sound like heaven to you.
Yeah,
right
great.
About now.
Very nice. But are there songs or?
I play some music. I get to choose the music.
Yeah, wow.
From my own personal collection.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. Right? Imagine one's own personal collection. And I talk and I do a couple of comedy sketches.
And this goes out in like 70 stations around the country.
Yeah, and it goes out on the internet, so you can hear it at harryshearer.com, and it's on a radio station in Berlin of all places.
Hey.
It's just all over the world. In strange places.
I found some albums that you made for the show recently, and they were concerned with the O.J. Simpson trial.
And he's back.
You attended, didn't you?
I attended the civil trial, the second trial.
And I found that there were two albums. The first one was called O.J. on Trial, The Early Years.
Yes.
And the second one was called O.J. on Trial, The Endless Summer.
Yeah.
And they're, it's hard to remember what you were talking about. You know,
yeah, it was hard for me. Who was Judge Ito.
Judge Ito. But there was a great one, which was Cato Kaelin.
Yes.
Reading Peter and the Wolf.
Oh, yes, with John Tesh.
Doing synthesizer solos. That's still pretty funny.
Yeah, that was funny. Thank you. I'd forgotten about that. Cato Kaelin, America's House Guest, as he was known in those days.
And you, so obviously, is OJ a big part of your show again?
He's coming back, baby. He's coming back. You know, we were just wrestling. Nicole and I were just wrestling.
But hang on.
Do you know the story about him being busted in
Vegas?
So he's
charged into a hotel room, has he? Where some gentlemen have memorabilia that he says is his.
Gentlemen.
Well, that's what,
interesting usage.
Well, you know, we use a lot of allegedlies on this program,
yes,
Harry.
One must. Alleged gentleman. No, part of what's been amazing about that story is just as you learn how bizarrely creepy the world of sports collectibles is.
Yeah, right.
You know, all these guys that were in that room, you read about their backgrounds because, you know, the defenders of OJ are like slagging the backgrounds of all these guys in the room. And you think, yeah, but that's the room he walked into.
Yeah, right.
Those are the people he knows.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Those are his peeps, you know?
Now, like 10 years ago when you were doing all the satire on the OJ case and doing these albums in your radio show, could you ever have imagined the book? That book If I did it. Have you read it?
No, I haven't. I haven't bought it. But if I bought it, here's what I would think. I loved it. I loved it when it was originally going to come out under the imprint of Rupert's publishing company. And I had Rupert being part of a new publishing imprint, Hypothetical Books.
That's right.
And his own hypothetical memoir was If I Wanted to Dominate the World and Make It Totally Pig Ignorant.
How do you get on with Rupert Murdoch these days?
Oh, we're like this.
Are you the one who causes all the trouble? You know, when he threatens to sack everybody on the Simpsons staff every couple of years because they want money or something?
I'm the whatever it is in the punch bowl.
Yeah. Okay, well, he's I don't know if you read any of our papers down here. But
I sure do.
He's determined to defeat the potential Prime Minister, Mr. Kevin Rudd.
Is he really?
Yeah, well, we had Kevin Rudd came out against capital punishment.
Yeah.
And that translated to a headline on the front of the Australian yesterday. Rudd says, save the barley.
Oh, right. I saw that. Yeah.
He'll try anything.
I think Rupert is not against Kevin Rudd so much for political reasons, because Rupert's only politics is really business. I think he just wants to make sure that he still has the death penalty available for his employees.
Fair enough.
Of course. Fair's fair.
Fair's fair.
Yeah. Hey, why is Harry Shearer in Australia? Let's find out next on Get This. Thank you very much, The Cure. Friday, I'm in love here at Get This on Triple M. Harry Shearer is here. Harry, just tell us quickly, why are you in Australia?
Why am I in Australia? Well, I was swimming to Fiji and I turned right.
Of course you were.
I'm here for the Commercial Radio Australia conference and awards.
Wow.
So there's a conference I get to speak my mind about radio to all the biggies in the radio industry in Australia, commercial radio industry, on Friday. And then doing a couple of things at the awards show on Saturday night at Crown.
All right. Now, have you heard much Australian radio? Do you know what you're in for?
I've been interviewed on a bunch of it today, so I've heard it on the other end of the phone.
Okay.
I've downloaded some Lousy in my time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Lousy.
Is that for you? I know you're a great collector of odd clips, and when you were out here making Frontline a few years ago, you couldn't wait to see Michael Hirsch's compilation tape of terrible moments from our Logie Awards.
Yes.
you seem to collect things like this.
Well, my wife and I, one of the things we share is a belief that, you know, good show business can so often disappoint, but bad show business never does.
Never lets you down.
So if you really want enjoyment, that's where you should go.
Wow.
And of course, that philosophy is the philosophy behind YouTube. So
Yeah, of course. Yes. Isn't that a goal? Hasn't that become a gold mine?
Yeah.
Often just get on
everybody's
there.
Bad collection of stuff is now up there. Somebody, Christopher Guest, as a matter of fact, emailed me links a couple days ago to somebody who had an old video, a kinescope of Jerry Lewis doing The Jazz Singer as a television production in 1959.
God. Oh. What was that like?
Oh, well, it's like, you know, second only to the movie that I've seen that nobody else in the world has seen.
The
Day the Clown Cried. Right. There you are.
I really want to see that.
Yeah, well, never will.
This is
but I did.
Jerry Lewis was...
A clown in a concentration camp.
Yeah, that's right.
Basically is the headline. Yeah. Taking the kids on their way to their demise. And he made it as a serious movie. Other results, of course, ensued.
And a bit of a footnote for Australian viewers. Anki from Sweden, the last of the Barrel Girls on Perfect Match.
Oh, yes.
Was one of the kids.
Anki was.
One of the kids led off to the... The Gas Chamber, Let's Not Beat About the Bush, by Jerry Lewis in that unreleased film. Fantastic. Bit of a boring question, but I need to know, Harry, what was your first screen appearance? How far back would we have to go?
I was about 8 years old.
Wow.
I was in a movie called Abbott and Costello Go to Mars.
Wow.
And
you remember anything of that?
Yeah, it was a day's work. And I had one line, but I repeated it over and over again. I mean, that was in the script that I repeated over and over again, not that I did it badly. And the line was, but how does a spaceship work? Roughly in that tone of voice.
And was Costello able to tell you?
No, that was the joke.
Of course.
Was his reaction.
And then, what was your...
And then the robe, shortly thereafter.
The robe.
I was the first CinemaScope child.
What was your character?
The crippled boy.
Of course.
David, the crippled boy.
And what about Jack Benny? I'm a huge fan of Jack Benny.
Oh, well, that was my very first gig in show business was working for Jack Benny.
And were you sort of sidekicking it to him or...
Yeah, I was. He had a troop of like Boy Scout, Cub Scout kind of kids called the Beverly Hills Beavers. These were more innocent days. And I was one of those, and I played Benny as a child sometimes, and worked for him for 8 years.
I'm just jumping around the resume because obviously we need...
You're a fan of his.
Seriously? I love Jack Benny. It's a film he did called To Be or Not To Be.
Oh, one of the best American comedies ever made.
And you have to keep in mind it was made before the outcome of World War II was known.
That's right.
It was a very brave film to have made.
It was an amazing... I show it... Every once in a while I get a chance to like show movies in Hollywood to say, look, here's how things should be done. And I show that as an example of how against the feelings of people like Woody Allen and others that comedy is for trivia. And if you have something serious to say, you should be serious in saying it.
Yeah, you're right.
That you can talk about the most serious stuff in the world in the form of comedy. And here were these people in the middle of World War II doing a comedy about the Nazis and Hitler and getting it so right.
Yeah.
And it was Carol Lombard's best performance ever.
Yeah.
It's such a funny movie. I'm so glad to hear you say that. Because when you say To Be or Not to Be today, most people think of the Mel Brooks remake,
which means it's meaningless, really. Yeah. A very funny pre-title sequence when they do Sweet Georgia Brown downhill from there. But the original, it's just, can you get funnier than Jack Benny just coming out in the Hamlet costume?
Oh, my
and
God.
Just the way he walks out is a killer.
It's an amazing example of how an actor can take his persona from out of the movie and get additional laughs in the movie from bringing that persona in while staying in character. You know, people knew that Jack Benny's character was vain. And so as he became this terrible Polish Shakespearean actor, the great Polish actor, he just got additional laughs from people knowing
that it's
Benny doing this, even though he never broke character. He never winked. He never... You know, got out of the character.
Maybe people only know him from a clip that you often see on the TV of him claiming that he can't play the violin.
Ah, yes.
He was the greatest bad violinist, really, yeah. Wasn't he?
And he actually was very proud of his prowess, played with symphony orchestras all the time, but
wow.
Did it as a joke. You know?
There is so much we could talk to you about, Harry Shearer, but why should we have all the asking fun? Listeners, it's your chance to throw a question at Harry. Call us now, 1-3-3-5-3.
Get this.
You need a strong stomach.
Brought to you by Nissan Navara. Huge pulling power.
It's Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Harry Shearer is here. There are so many people who just want to talk to him. Please, just open up the lines. Who's going first, Ed?
G'day, Anthony.
Yeah, g'day, mate. I was wondering which voice Harry likes doing the most.
Probably C. Montgomery Burns.
Oh, wow.
C. Montgomery Burns, because he's pure evil.
Do people just buttonhole you and ask for Burns? I mean, is that do you get sick of that at all? Or?
No, they don't, and I don't.
No, of course not.
You know, I love the people. I love the pretty people. No, I people are very nice about it. They're very, very understanding that I'm not going to be doing voices, at the drop of a hat, so to speak. And they'll normally be very understanding, except for the people who drag their children around just for the sheer purpose of saying, it's not for me, it's for my kid. And the kid is going,
That's right.
Scary.
Have any of your characters been killed off, Harry? Have any of them retired?
Yes, Dr. Marvin Monroe.
Yeah,
oh, that's right.
Dr. Marvin Monroe, who was a family therapist early on and was a therapist. I think the whole joke was he was a therapist with a really horrible manner, a very off-putting manner. And so I gave him a very off-putting voice. Thank God they killed him off. But I didn't know that they were killing him off until I turned on a Halloween episode of, a Treehouse of Horror episode.
Yeah.
And they always have a camera move through the graveyard and you see funny headstones. And one of the headstones was for Dr. Marvin Monroe. Right. And that was how I learned that my character had been killed off.
So I'm just going to ask a quick question. Riviera, he gets crushed at the end of the Simpsons movie.
Yeah.
Is that an official death?
Yeah, is that the end of
Nick? I don't think deaths in Simpson Land are official until they're marked with a headstone, because Spinal Tap, was in a bus crash.
Yeah.
But we still live.
All right, fair enough.
Good point.
Thank you.
Who's next?
Thank you. Hi, Daniel. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Ask away.
Yeah.
By the way, what's this?
Oh, this is some soup, Harry, which
it's really repulsive looking.
Okay, sorry, Daniel. You listen to the show. You know how this show works.
I do. It's all about soup, isn't it?
A tub of really gelatinous looking soup that just is. Oh, you don't want to watch it move, Daniel. Count your blessings that it's radio.
What have you got for us, Daniel?
Yeah, look, in A Mighty Wind, you played a transsexual double bass player.
Yes.
There was a bit of a rumor, which you could confirm for me, maybe, that you guys actually played a Spinal Tap concert and were your own support act as the Folksman. Is that correct?
We did it several times. Yeah, it's not a rumor. We played Carnegie Hall in New York. We played the Greek Theater in Los Angeles. We played the Warfield in San Francisco and a couple other gigs. Started the evening as the Folksman,
right.
Folksman regalia, with doing Folksman material. Said thank you to smattering of applause because people didn't really. It was a Spinal Tap audience, and they really didn't get.
Is it true you were booed off one night?
One night we announced that it was Spinal Tap with opening act the Folksman, and we had such a great time at Carnegie Hall in New York. We went back to New York to the Beacon Theater, and somebody left off the announcement of an opening act. So rock and roll audience, when they don't expect an opening act.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was Tap's audience, and we're trapped in these other characters, so we couldn't say, no, it's us. Look, it's your friends. It's the guys you like. We're just looking different. So we really were having the experience of joking about being booed off the stage while being booed off the stage.
Wow. And are you a big fan of he's gone.
He's
The folks, I remember you telling me.
I'll be him, man.
We'll get back.
Hello.
That's him.
Yeah, what about you?
Hey, Daniel.
Do you play real folk? I guess the cat's out of the bag now that The Mighty Wind has been released. But for years, you were just playing folk festivals.
We would do that from time to time, yeah, and be up against the so-called real folkies. We played a folk festival at UCLA and were followed immediately to the stage by the Kingston Trio.
Wow!
And the only way you could tell the difference between them and us is that backstage, they were the ones who were smoking cigarettes.
And I understand that you said to me often people would go through the whole set not realizing that it was comedy until the encore, which was...
It was Flashdance, What a Feeling.
There you go. Yeah. Which does sound beautiful.
It sounds like a folk song when you start it.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, do you want to hear some Folksman now?
I'd love to hear some Folksman.
This is a song that you'll often hear on Triple M, but not like this.
If you start me up, if you start me up, I'll never stop. If you start me up, if you start me up, I'll never stop. I've been running hard, you got me ticking, gonna blow my top. If you start me up, if you start me up, I'll never stop. You make a grown man cry, you make a grown man cry, you make a grown man cry.
Right off the oil, the gasoline, I walk smooth, she's a mean, mean machine.
If you start it up, kick on the starter, give it all you got. I can't compete with the riders in the other heat. If you rough it up, if you like it, you can slide it up. Slide it up. You make a grown man cry. Don't make a grown man cry. Don't make a grown man cry.
My eyes dilate, my lips go green, my hands are greasy, she's a mean machine.
Start me up, baby, start me up, I'll never stop. If you start me up, baby, start me up, I'll never stop. I've been running hard, you got me ticking, gonna blow my top. If you start me up, baby, start me up, I'll never stop. You make a dead man come, 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 you make a dead man come by.
Yes, you never know what we'll play next here at Triple M. That's the Folksmen with their version of Start Me Up. Did I hear a bit of the next track? Careful, we will play it. We will play it, Richard. Harry Shearer is with us, and we have so many people who want to have a natter. Who's going next?
Matthew, are you there, Matthew?
Yes, I am.
Ask away, my friend.
Hi. I was reading Beat magazine this morning, and I noticed that Saxon are having their first Australian tour. And I remember Tony said that they were a major influence on This Is Spinal Tap. I was wondering what Harry thought of that.
Well, they were a major influence on me in the sense that I before we made the movie, I went on the road with Saxon for about a week and a half because we were going to be performing. We hadn't done a lot. We've done a few gigs. We had done a few gigs before the movie, but right. I just wanted to get some more stage savvy. And what I picked up from Saxon was that the bass player did something that I just immediately stole, which is play open strings as much as possible so the left fist can go up in the air.
Yes,
a few things like that, you know, and some wardrobe tips. Interestingly enough, the bass player and guitar player of the original Saxon are writing a book in Britain right now called Saxon Drugs and Rock and Roll.
Of course.
And they interviewed me about that week and a half for the book. I went and saw them about earlier this year. And even though they didn't know anything about what we were doing or who I was or what the point of the thing was, they remembered so much more about what went down during that week and a half than I did. I ended up interviewing them to find out what was that?
That's fantastic. Well, have we got anyone else on the line?
Mia is here. Mia, are you there?
Yeah. Yes, I'm here.
Ask away.
Harry, I love This Is Spinal Tap. It's my favourite movie.
Thanks.
I know this is probably a boring question, but how do you guys kind of rehearse or do the show? Are you all in the same room or is it, you know what I mean?
Like, oh, you mean The Simpsons?
The Simpsons.
Yeah, sorry, The Simpsons.
Oh, okay. I was still thinking of The Spinal
Tap. No, The Spinal Tap.
Well, there's, you know, with The Simpsons, there's no, we do a... We are all together when we record the show.
So you don't do it over the phone or anything like that?
Very rarely.
Right.
Every once in a great while, somebody will be in another city and we'll phone it in. But the vast majority of the time, we get together for the what's called the read-through, which is the rehearsal of the script before we start recording. And then a few days later, after the writers have had at it one more time, we all assemble in the same studio to record. It's very much like watching a radio play in the old days being recorded. We stand or sit around microphones in a sort of a semicircle and do each scene four times and do it straight through. So if I'm, if Burns is talking to Smithers, and then Smithers is talking to Burns, we do it in order. So
wow. And is it, do you have all the guest stars with you in the room, or are they separate?
Normally not. No, normally their schedules don't necessarily coincide with ours. So the Dr. Stephen Hawking was there, but you know, he doesn't have that busy a schedule, I guess. and Michael Jackson came in when we were there. So right. that was the most bizarre one I've ever experienced.
You know, one I have to ask about, and he's certainly not a household name, and I'm not even sure how you say his name, is the author, is it Thomas Pynchon?
Pynchon, yeah.
Is that how you say it? Yeah. He's never done anything. I don't think, there's only two photographs of him in existence.
Famous recluse.
Never been interviewed ever.
Yeah.
How does he end up on The Simpsons twice?
I think the writers were just so idolatrous of him that they, I don't know what they had to use as sweeteners. What,
right,
do, what
right.
do you do to convince, hey, Tom, there's a fiver in it for you.
Okay.
I don't know. But, yeah.
Okay, if you've got Thomas Pynchon in The Simpsons,
mm-hmm.
who's going to say no? Has there been any no's ever?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I don't know.
Kidman
about,
said no. Would, I think Kidman yeah? said no, didn't she?
Really?
Kidman.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
I probably afraid that, you know, certain subjects would come up. That,
he's probably afraid that it might be good.
Yeah, we're going to have that happening.
A little bit.
All right, you, I just,
tough room.
I can't believe we're through the hour.
I know.
You're going to have to come back and play for more prizes tomorrow, Harry.
All right. I have a lovely parting gift?
What is the party?
Soup.
The prize
oh,
key.
Oh, no!
Is
delicious soup.
Threatening our guest with his lunch. Here, get this. Oh, that means it's time to sign off. Thank you, the Plain White Tees, and thank you, Harry Shearer, for sitting in for the whole hour.
My pleasure.
What a treat. Good luck at the ACRA Awards on the weekend.
Thank you. I'm just going to campaign for them to get another acronym.
Yeah, that's what they need. They need a new one. It was the RA Awards years ago.
That never really stuck, though.
Yeah, that didn't catch on. There are so many things I'd like to plug myself on behalf of Harry. Type his name into Amazon. So many things come up. There's a DVD of your sketches from Saturday Night
that's
Live.
Correct. Yeah.
There's this fine album, Songs Pointed and Pointless.
Which you can download the tracks from for free at mydamnchannel.com.
Right, and am I right in saying you've just published your first novel this
yes,
month?
Yes, I have.
What's
yeah.
that called?
Not Enough Indians.
And there's a movie that you made that's never come out here.
Teddy Bear's Picnic.
There is so much Harry Shearer gear.
I know the answer to all of them.
To it. We've only got 10 seconds. Yeah. Time for a key phrase. I wanted to say tap into America. But what is our key phrase?
Burns is talking to Smithers.
And then Smithers is talking to Burns.
Thank you very much, Harry Shearer.
Goodbye, everybody.
We'll be back tomorrow with Tony Moclair.
Oh, yes.
That's right, tomorrow I've invented a new word. It's possibly Scottish. It's all thanks to the Nissan Navara with its huge pulling power, rugged good looks, China hutch, and butter churn.
Now it's all out in you know.
Poof, that's gone up in smoke.
Through all of them.
To it. We've only got 10 seconds. Yeah. Time for a key phrase. I wanted to say tap into America. But what is our key phrase?
Burns is talking to Smithers.
And then Smithers is talking to Burns.
Thank you very much, Harry Shearer.
Goodbye, everybody.
And we'll be back tomorrow with Tony Moclair.
Yes.
That's right, tomorrow I've invented a new word. It's possibly Scottish. It's all thanks to the Nissan Navara with its huge pulling power, rugged good looks, China hutch, and butter churn.
Now it's all out in you know.
Poof, that's gone up in smoke.